The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Welcome back. You're on with the Bastards of Boston Baseball. I'm your host, Charlie Smith. You can find me on X or Twitter at Smith_MLB. With me for this one is Terry Cushman Jr. at Cushman MLB is where you can find him. The Boston Red Sox were able to take 2 out of 3 against the Los Angeles Dodgers and finish up the first 9-game set at 4-5. Terry, how are you feeling? What's going through your mind?
Well, I said at the beginning of it, I expected us to win it, 2 out of 3 games. We didn't win game one with Bayo starting. I thought, oops, well, maybe it's a loss here, 2 out of 3. But Red Sox win second and third game. So on one hand, you win the series. On the other hand, Buehler kind of sucked. I mean, he walked the bases loaded one inning. I think the Red Sox were extremely fortunate to get out of that with, I think, just 1 or 2 runs scored. And so it's hard to know what he's going to give you long term, but you're stuck with him. And then Chapman leaves the game. And maybe he's hurt. You know, you have to take it at face value, but there's this little voice in the back of my conspiracy theorist mind that says, maybe Chapman just doesn't want to get traded. Maybe he exits the game. Now Breslow can't trade him. Maybe Cora's involved. I don't know. Probably not. But I just
hope everyone's sitting for that one.
I just find it weird that dudes seem to get hurt going into the trade deadline, and he came out of the pen. And this is what makes me a little bit suspicious. This is what made it airworthy for me. He came out of the pen not throwing fastballs at all, really. So,
I mean, he threw 100 in the game, though, Terry. So I don't know if that holds full water, you know?
Did he throw? Okay.
He threw gas. I mean, he throws 100 like warming up, it feels like. But he did throw 100. It just the control wasn't there.
It was mostly off speed, though.
He did throw off speed, yes.
Yeah. So I don't know. It was a very ridiculously uncharacteristic off speed outing for as long as he was out there. So I'm just throwing it out there. We'll see. But so I'll wrap up my opening with just this. Yes, we win the series, but the future looks a little ominous, I would say.
Yeah, of course. I mean, here's the thing. Here are the facts, right? The Los Angeles Dodgers came into this game, regardless of record, as one of the best teams, if not the best team in baseball. I don't care what you say about the Tigers or the Padres, the Giants, now that they got Devers, the Braves are starting to find it again. Toronto's the best team in all of baseball right now, best record in all of the bigs. But we didn't face Tyler Glasnow. He faced, I think it was Minnesota. He struck out 12 over 7 innings. You didn't face Shohei. They pushed his start back. You got to face Emmett Sheehan, Clayton Kershaw, who's, you know, this isn't prime time Clayton Kershaw anymore. And then you have Dustin May, who doesn't have the best control. Like, he's got some good stuff sometimes. But we did catch this team at the right time. Remember, the Dodgers were like 2-11 for a 13-game set. That's how they lost being the best team in all of baseball to being like the third or fourth team as far as record is concerned. We did what we had to do. We got the job done. It's disappointing that Bayo didn't get the win, but we were able to finish 4-5, which was that record that a lot of us were kind of talking about. Like, if we go 3-6, we're in big trouble. We started off going 1-4. So you finish off going 3-1 over your last 4 games, including a very well-known team. You got Mookie Betts on that team. you Dave Roberts is their manager. Sometimes we have bullpen pieces that if they're not playing for our team, they're now over there. We have a lot of shared players, right? And we got beat today, not by their superstar players. We got beat by Michael Conforto, who had an error in the first inning. We thought, oh my God, this is going to be a really bad game. He misplayed another one that went foul in the second inning. We thought he was going to have a really bad day. He ends up coming out with a home run, two doubles, including a ground rule double over Willier's head in right field, and then drew a walk late in the game where Esturi Ruiz, Dave Roberts 2.0, ends up stealing second base, but thankfully doesn't do anything. We did what we needed to do. This should give us a little bit of confidence going into the, you know, trade deadline here, because we're missing a couple pieces. Marcelo Meyer being out doesn't help either. I'm curious to know what you're thinking about that, because obviously Sadon moves from center field to second base and makes the play of the game. But what's your mindset about Marcelo Meyer not going to be playing baseball in Boston for a little bit?
Well, it's a sprain, so I'm cautiously optimistic. It's not going to be much more than the minimum. Your infield defense theoretically does kind of take a hit a little bit with him not being in there. You just did mention the double play that Rafaela helped by snagging the line drive and then diving into second base to get the second out when the runner didn't make it back. So, you know, Rafaela isn't hurting you by any means, and you've got options in the outfield. You still have Duran, who's starting to heat up finally. You have Anthony out there, who had a very good game today. Messed up his foot a little bit by fouling the ball off it, so hopefully there's no problems there. And then you got the Ref Snyder Abreu platoon, but I don't think we've seen the best of Meyer offensively. I don't think Cora really, you know, gives him the opportunities to necessarily be the best that he can be, but I've been pretty encouraged. I mean, who do you want going down the stretch? Let's just put it this way. I'm just trying to set a bar for Meyer. Would you rather have Meyer or would you rather have Abreu having more at bats? To me, it's Meyer.
What are we talking about for the stretch for this year?
Yeah. Like who's going to help you more?
Abreu, because he's playing every day. He's going to be playing every game. Marcelo Meyer can't stay healthy. That's the problem.
Well, I'm just
saying, that's a concern.
Assuming he can come back, but I mean, Abreu, I don't have his numbers up, but he's only had a couple of hits in his last 25 or so at bats.
Sure. Just
streaky as hell. And right. I just think Meyer is going to be more consistent for you. And then he goes back to second, Rafaela back to the outfield. I just think Meyer could be a big player down the stretch once he comes back. And his wrist, it's just a pain tolerance thing. He can come back when he feels comfortable. Like, he's not going to do any more damage to it. So, you know, we'll see.
Willier Abreu's got, I think he's got 20 home runs now in the year, right? He's gonna probably get 30 plus before this year is over. You know, and home runs help. That's a part of the game. Right field at Fenway Park, not an easy position to play. We have a plethora of people that can play the positions that Meyer's playing. Bregman is back at, like, what would you say Bregman's at? 70%? 65%?
Well, I would say 100% at the plate, but it's just his base running. His running is a problem.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there was the play, I forget which game it was. I think Roman Anthony had a double in a right field. And the throw came in and Bregman was just getting into third base. I feel like everybody would have scored in that play, including Toro, who surprisingly enough stole a base today. That's a scary thing. If Abraham Toro steals a base on you, so Dalton Rushing, I know he's a rookie, he's got to button that up, because Toro should not be getting a stolen base on you. That is not a pretty runner. It'd be like Yoshida getting a stolen base. You know, no disrespect, but these aren't the sexiest runners. They're not the best base runners. So they shouldn't be able to do that. And he stole it. He was clean. He was clean at second. There was no question there. I'm with you. You know, I think he's 100% at the plate, as evidenced by what we saw today. And I mean, he almost got plunked in the wrist earlier too. This is one of the things I was telling you guys, Dodgers fans, tolerate Dustin May because they know the potential for him being excellent is there. He struck out 5 of 7 or 5 of 6 at one point during the course of the game. He has the stuff. The problem is the consistency and the control are not there. And that's going to kill you. Wild pitches, hitting batters. I mean, didn't he start the game off with a hit batsman? Like, we started off hitting, wasn't it Roman Anthony?
I believe so.
Yeah. So, you know, that's going to be like the little things, that's going to kill you. And the Red Sox right now, what they have to do is take advantage of mistakes from other teams and not make any mistakes. Not make any. You know, like that play where runners are caught between second and third and, should I advance or not and go back to second? You can't do that. Don't risk it. We're not a team that's good enough to be able to risk it right now. We're just not.
And another thing, Duran should have advanced today, but forgot how many outs there were and ran back to second. So I can't remember if that he would have scored on that play or not. And then Aroldis Chapman, it was back issues. And his
is that official? Did they say back issues?
That's what Alex Cora said. And his fastball velocity was down 5 miles an hour. So, you know, that's what they're going with. But we'll see.
I
don't think he wants to get traded, but I don't think they could have anyway.
I think that if you trade Chapman right now, like, oh, but we're like trying to get primed up for 26. Tristan Casas will be back. Bregman's probably going to come back. Everyone's going to be healthy, and we're going to get some prospects too. But you throw away this opportunity to get deep into the playoffs. Aroldis Chapman right now is the closer of the 2025 season. There's no other person this year, regardless of what team or situation, that I would trust more. Period. I mean, Chapman came in the not ninth inning right now because the highest leverage batters were when he came in, which was the seventh, eighth inning, like in that end of the game moment, but not the save situation. He is one of the most valuable relievers in baseball right now. And the proof is in the pudding, man. The numbers don't lie. He's been absolutely elite. They've talked about the fact that he's had walk issues in the past. That really hasn't been a thing right now. To your point, it being back issues and 5 miles an hour off of your fastball. If you're used to throwing 100, 101, and now your 101 is 96, a lot more people are going to catch up to that. So weird play with Chapman too. Miguel Rojas, who hasn't walked 3 times in a game in 4 years, never walks, was able to draw ball 4 because of a pitch clock violation. And I still can't make up what was going on. Narvaez came out ahead of the plate and then went back. And then the batter motioned to the clock. The umpire came out and that was it. Runner took first base. It was a really weird transition. And, you know, Chapman has that like smiley face where he's just kind of like, he's like grinning. Like, he's like, you got to be kidding me, man. And he just, something felt a little off. He looked angry. I didn't think he was hurt. So I'm really hoping this is just a couple days, like back spasms, and he'll be back in, you know, 2-3 days, you know, come back in the Minnesota series.
I'm not 100% sure. I mean, backs are tricky, but obviously I'd rather it be that than a shoulder or an elbow.
100%.
Yeah,
absolutely. And to your point, you're talking about Jaren Duran earlier. I don't remember the last Red Sox player to get 2 triples in one game. And the Lizard is running. I mean, he's going full bore, side to side, head bobbing and whatnot. 2 triples, a double. I think he also drew a walk. I can't remember. But I mean, just on base machine. And he's going to exceed his triples numbers from last year by far. He might have 20 this year. And I got a hot take for Duran. And some people are going to love it. And some people are going to hate it. But I'm going to wait until we get to that point.
Well, I mean, we can get into him here. Let me just mention before you do, he's leading the Red Sox right now in doubles, and it's not even close. 26 right. Doubles for him. The next closest is Carlos Narvaez. And let's go. The next one would be Rafaela. I would have thought Rafaela and Narvaez are tied for 21. I would have expected more out of him just with that hot streak, but that's where they stand right now. And as far as all of Major League Baseball, Duran is second in triples. I forget who has the lead. It might be Bobby Witt again, but let me just pull that up right now. Triples. Oh, sorry. Nope. It's Corbin Carroll has one more triple than Jaren Duran. So
I thought it was Bobby Witt too.
Yeah. So, I mean, apparently we covered it previously a couple nights ago, I think Friday. The Padres wanted to send Dylan Cease over, who's just a rental, not having the greatest year, but the underlying metrics are very good. And then that Salas kid, who's probably their second or third best prospect. Yeah.
Right.
And so the Red Sox apparently rejected it very quickly. And apparently teams are being told now that Jaren Duran is not available at all. And you couldn't look me in the face with a straight face and say, I think we can make the postseason without Jaren Duran. Like,
you can't do that.
Yeah.
You can't. You won't. You can't. And this is the thing. Regarding Jaren Duran, he's actually exceeding everyone's expectations. The numbers may look pretty ugly because he did have a rough start to the year. There's no question about it. Leading the team in doubles. He's leading the team in triples. The rest of the team, I think, has 7 or 8 triples, period. He's second on the team in RBIs behind Trevor Story. He's leading the team in walks now that Devers is gone. He's leading the team in total bases. So we have seen the resurgence of Jaren Duran. Like, there's no question there. And truth be told, very few people are managing left field, center field like he has. There was that weird little play, and I'm pretty sure it was Jaren Duran who almost threw out Miguel Rojas at second base off of the carom, off the Green Monster. I could be mistaken, but Barehand threw it in and almost got him out. You not only can tell or say to fans that you're going to try to be realistic about the postseason without Jaren Duran, I don't know how you're going to try to claim that you're a destination city if you've already shipped out Rafael Devers, and then you're going to ship the next best player on your team, or arguably second best player on your team. Definitely a fan favorite, someone who's just an absolute monster on the base paths, extra base hit machine. You can't do it. You can't. And this is the crazy hot take, right? We're about to face Minnesota. 3-game set. One of the names that's been kind of circled around is Joe Ryan. Joe Ryan tattooed in his last game. 21 years ago, the Minnesota Twins and the Boston Red Sox were facing each other during the deadline, or right about at the deadline. The Boston Red Sox traded arguably their face of the franchise. It was one of the most dynamic moves that Major League Baseball had seen when they traded Nomar Garcia Parra to the Chicago Cubs. That's when we got Doug Mankiewicz, who literally switched from one locker room to the other. And then we got Orlando Cabrera, who came over from Montreal. And it was a monumental move. Theo Epstein at the time said, this is a move that could detrimentally hurt this team for years to come if it doesn't work out. We fast forward. The Boston Red Sox end up winning the World Series in 2004. Now, I think AJ Preller's an idiot, and I'll get into that in a second. If you can disagree with me, and that's probably just going to show me that you don't know what you're talking about. Not you, but people in general. If you trade, you know, Jaren Duran, who has some years of control, and you don't get someone of control back, it doesn't make sense. It sends an interesting message to your fans and also to the opposing team and just baseball in general. Joe Ryan would be an interesting situation. I again ask you, knowing where Jaren Duran is right now, how much of a loved person he is in Boston, you've been big about having Marcelo Meyer down the line. If the Twins reverse course and said, okay, Jaren Duran might not be a possibility, would you be open to the idea of Willier Abreu, maybe the password, possibly another player to get Joe Ryan? Would you pull that trigger? Knowing full well that we really want the password in the near future, what would you say?
The password's untouchable to me because he's a righty.
Okay.
So I'd be willing to give up a painful package. I don't think you can give up Jaren Duran right now.
You can this winter
if you, you know, if you get an impact outfielder or maybe just an impact bat somewhere. I just don't see how you can do it right now. You know, would I put, and obviously this may not be viable, but would I put Christian Campbell in a package potentially?
Sure.
Or, you know, that might be more doable, but the password is untouchable to me. Let me say this about Duran. If you go get two bats and then Joe Ryan, okay, maybe I'm open to it. Duran's my favorite player on the team, but I'm not, there's literally almost nobody I wouldn't trade if the roster was going to stay balanced and then it was going to be improved after the trade. I would do it, but it's a complicated thing. And Alex Spear pointed out earlier in the week that there hasn't been a Joe Ryan type guy traded at the deadline in several years now. Those pitchers just don't move.
So you think there's a possibility with the Minnesota Twins being, I think, 5 games under .500, they're 10 games out of the division. You have the Detroit Tigers in there too. Do you think that they're going to hold on to Joe Ryan after all that? I mean, I keep going around in one thing, like the trade of Chris Sale, so stupid, so dumb. But do you think there's a chance that we just roll out with the current team and make a couple of minor adjustments and just that's it?
I think after today, after watching Buehler today, I think we're going to acquire a pitcher at some point this week. I just don't think it's going to be a Joe Ryan type guy, unfortunately. And I haven't looked at I'm going to pull the probables up here in a second for the Twins series, but you're probably going to have your Fitz start somewhere in that series or someone. You're going to have someone in the 5 slot here that you're not going to love. So we desperately need a Joe Ryan. Don't get me wrong. I mean, we do, but I just don't think the packages are going to line up. I think someone else might be in better position to get him than we are.
I think that unless the Red Sox are willing to, quote, make that painful move, that's going to happen. And it might involve one of your three. Roman Anthony, Marcelo Mayer. Are you willing to move either one of those two guys? I won't move Anthony.
I won't move Anthony either. Would I trade Meyer? I guess I could be tempted, but
if Meyer's part of the package hurt for Joe Ryan,
he gets hurt all the time.
So, he does. That's a problem, right? So, but if you could move him, if the Twins come calling and say we want Marcelo in there, are you going to be okay? Is that going to be a rough Band-Aid to pull off?
It would be hard. I may do it. I may do it. I don't know. It's tough. I think it's close.
Right. Because here's the thing. I know I'm probably the only guy in the group that is still very pro Buehler. And the numbers didn't lie for the first couple innings. He had 26 pitches through 2 innings. And then the third and the fourth inning, 66 pitches. He really, really labored. And after, you know, 4+ innings, it was 104 pitches. He had 2 ball counts to start on 5 batters, which you can't have. He had a total of 8 batters that had a full count in the game. The problem is that you get into like this 2-0 and you lose them, or you get into this 0-2 and then you'd somehow find a way to throw 3 straight balls. And that just can't happen. And it's great that he had his exchange with his former team. He got his World Series ring and all that stuff. Don't get me wrong. But Buehler had a great start in his last appearance. He did what he needed to do. I think that if there's a guy that's going to be moving from that rotation, a lot of people are going to be saying it's probably him. It's probably going to be Buehler. And I'm probably still the only guy raising my hand saying I still want him in there. The guy's a dog. Like if you want a guy in there to get the job done, he should be that guy to get it done. I'm hoping, I'm really praying that he can just make a couple of adjustments. Okay, you throw 2-0. Stop trying to paint. Don't worry about it. If you lose that guy, you lose that one. Attack the next one. Stop trying to be so perfect. At one point, he had thrown 29 strikes and 27 balls, 56 pitches. And I'm sitting there like, for every ball, you're throwing one strike for a ball or one ball for a strike. Like, we can't have that. You just can't. You can't live on that as a starter. You've got to be in that 65 to 70% hot zone. If you're any higher than 70, you're crushing it. Any lower than 60, you're struggling. But at 50%, that's not going to cut it as a starter. You can't do it.
Yeah. If you don't have a formidable fastball, and he doesn't, I just
not anymore.
I just don't know how viable you really are. I mean, Clayton Kershaw, the last 3 or 4 years, he's managed to get by without having a fastball. So I don't know how he can really reinvent himself. I mean, we've got no choice but to hope that he does. But
right,
I don't know. And I was right. Fitz actually will make his start tomorrow. Those are later starts, too. 7:40 for the first two, and then Wednesday's a getaway day, so that'll be a 1:10 Eastern start. But I mean, if I'm looking at this rotation, you need Giolito to have a prayer for the postseason. You need Giolito to bounce back. Bayo and Crochet have been extremely consistent for quite a while now, so. And one of the things I loved about the Crochet start, he did give up a couple runs early. One of them was a home run to Shohei. And then he struck him out on 3 straight pitches in his very next at bat. So when he gets a fire under him, I just feel like the way he imposes his will against the batters is just, it's fun to watch. And it's nice to know that you have a guy capable of doing that. Like, Shohei was not going to be in Crochet's head in that next at bat.
No.
So that's nice to see. So you got those two. I'm hoping Giolito figures it out. I mean, he's scuffled, I think, in 2 of his last 3, something like that. So you're going to have to go get a mid-level guy. Maybe you can make a sneaky good acquisition. Maybe you can go get a Nathan Eovaldi type guy from 2018 whose stock wasn't really that high at the time we acquired him. And we kind of basically kickstarted his prime in a way. And he's been a very good pitcher ever since. But you got to do something like that. You need an impact bat. Eugenio Suarez played first base on Friday night. I don't know who the Diamondbacks are trying to speak to. The Rays are essentially saying Yandy Diaz is probably going to be available. He's just a rental, as is Suarez. So, so I don't know. There are options if Breslow decides to be aggressive and does what he has to do to keep us in contention. We're still holding the third wild card spot right now.
Yeah. So a couple things too. Giolito, 5 earned runs in his last game, which matched everything he'd done for the month. He gave up 4 home runs, which was the same number of home runs he'd given up in the last 10 starts. So he had a clunker, to your point. The last 2 starts have been not pretty. But he has to hit 140 innings this year, right? Isn't it 140 total innings for the option?
It is, yeah.
So he's got 60 to go. I think that's going to be pretty doable if he can stay healthy. That's 30 innings per month. If he's getting 5 starts, he just needs to go 6 innings each start. And there's going to be probably one in October too. He's got one more here too. So I think he's going to get to 140. And unless there's some manipulation of the schedule or who starts when, I don't see how he doesn't hit 140. So I think that option is going to kick in. At this point, you've got to be buyers. You have to be a buyer. And if it's between Yandy Diaz or Eugenio Suarez, neither one of them really steal bases. Eugenio Suarez has like 36 or 37 home runs. He had like 5 home runs in 3 games. And then Yandy Diaz, I think, is better with on base, but doesn't have the same pop. So it's a matter of, okay, well, who do you think would fit in better? You know, like Eugenio Suarez with the Green Monster, he could probably end up his season with like what JD Martinez had when he went to Arizona from, I think it was Detroit, right? He went from Detroit to Arizona and he had a crazy campaign. This could be the same thing if Suarez comes to Boston. Yandy's not going to hit another 15 home runs if he joins the Red Sox. He might hit 6 to 8. Eugenio could have double that. He could have 12 to 14. He might actually finish with over 50 home runs playing for the Boston Red Sox and the Diamondbacks. I mean, there's no question they're sellers. It doesn't make sense for them to keep Suarez. So he's going to go. It's just a matter of to whom. I don't think the Yankees are in on him anymore, not after what happened. I mean, even with Judge having – is that confirmed that he has to have Tommy John surgery? I've been seeing that.
I don't think that's confirmed yet, at least last I checked. And I don't see why he couldn't DH in a pinch, but I don't know how severe the injury is. So they were on the, in my opinion, the highway to nowhere. So, I mean, they're just trending downwards. They don't have a – I mean, he is their offense. I mean, well, I shouldn't say that. I guess Bellinger's been – hitting pretty well lately, and someone else, Goldschmidt, seems to be cooling off though. But yeah, and then their rotation has been an issue as of late, so Rodon's been kind of carrying it, obviously. But they've got Stroman pitching, which I don't think has gone particularly well, so we'll see. I'm trying to find something on Yandy real quick. Randy Clemens in the chat was saying he's got a $12 million option for next year, which is nice. Let's see. Contracts.
Yeah, it's confirmed. He actually is. He's got the $12 million for 2026.
Team option.
So, yeah. Yeah. So there is that little bonus if he ends up wanting to join or if he ends up getting traded to Boston. But I'm curious because that means 1 year of control, which means he's going to have potentially a little bit more value than just a short-term rental for a couple of months, you know? So thank you to Randy over there. And then Johnny also in there as well, a club option in 26, $12 million. Does that change anything for you? Having Yanni for an additional year?
I prefer Suarez, but yeah, it just, that dude just mashes. I mean, he had a 3 home run game at Fenway. He's hitting over 400 in a tiny sample size. It's only 40-ish at bats. But yeah, I'm trying to pull up. Okay, I got it right here. Wow. So what do you think Diaz's batting average is at Fenway Park?
312.
Close. 317. With a 386 on base, that's 186 at bats. So that's about a third of a season that he's had at Fenway.
Give or take, yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, if we got one or the other, I would be pretty happy with that, honestly. And, you know, so you're kind of short up there. Story and Bregman, I'm assuming Meyer comes back. So you've got a pretty good, you actually have a great defensive infield at that point. And then the outfield, I think, is what it is. Duran, Anthony, and Rafaela again, once Meyer comes back. So yeah, another thing I wanted to get to, because we were talking about him earlier, this is just what destroys my soul. Willier in his last 43 at-bats has 6 hits, so he's hitting 140. He's cooled off even more just in the last week. He's 2 for his last 19, and actually, guess what those 2 hits were? Home runs. So those are his. So I think he still has value, but if you can get a nice trade for him, you know, and teams want him, I would do it. And he's just too streaky. And I'm just not confident that Alex Cora is going to get the most out of him the way he utilizes him.
I'm starting to think about it. Like, we've had problems with certain positions and staying healthy just in general, right? And I know that you're leaning Eugenio Suarez because of the mashing ability, right? And Abreu has these moments where he can be totally on it, where he can mash, have a couple of home runs in a game. Like, the home runs were the Chicago game. That was the game that he had two home runs in Chicago, and both of them were no doubters, yeah. If I'm not mistaken, correct? Yeah. Those are the home runs you're talking about. Yeah. So he has those moments where he can be absolutely on it. But then you're right. There can be moments where it's not there. And I'm actually kind of curious, like the second double that Conforto had, the ground rule double, I'm wondering if was he playing right field in the right spot in that moment? I don't know. And Conforto has not been a consistently great hitter. Like, this is probably his best game all year, where he had three extra base hits, homer, a couple doubles and a walk. If Suarez is the goal, like, if we go Suarez, right, we're going to play this little theory out. If Suarez is the guy, next year we go back to Devers, to Casas at first base, or are we going to look for another off-season acquisition at first base and possibly shop Casas around? Like, where's your brain with that? Because I'm still concerned with Casas for the future as opposed to Diaz, where you have a first baseman for next year. So whether or not Casas is in the game or out of the game or even in Boston, it doesn't matter because we have a replacement.
Yeah, I would honestly non-tender him this year. And just, I have more faith that Christian Campbell will be a more viable first baseman in the future.
That says a lot.
He'll at least be on the field. I mean,
true. He's the best ability is
availability. And that's so, right. I mean, he'll be on the field, and then Campbell's not a weird guy either. You know, he's not going to be making weird headlines with his antics. I would just move on from Casas. If he becomes a monster somewhere else, I'm willing to take the L on that. It just seems like an extreme long shot to me. Maybe he could be the fourth piece in a trade package this deadline even. Yeah, so.
I got something, Terry. Maybe Preller would take Casas, because if he goes, oh, heck no, and shoots that down so fast. I just want to talk about Preller too for a moment, right? You're asking for a controllable asset, and you're willing to give us a rental pitcher who's probably going to get paid. I think Dylan Cease is a good pitcher. I think he's an above average pitcher. He could be a number one or a number two, depending on the staff. Very few teams would he be a number two if he's there, right? On what planet did he think that was actually going to get accepted? We're going to give away an asset of value with control for someone who's a rental. Yeah, you're throwing in Ethan Salas, but whatever. He's not going to be playing. I think he's in high A. I don't even think he's at double A right now. And he's not doing all that great. And their number one prospect is completely off limits, not available. And I know some people say some players are untouchable. It would take like an act, like an overwhelming package in order to get some people to be touched if they're quote untouchable. I'm blown away that Preller thought that was going to be a real opportunity. People in San Diego, I got friends that are Padres fans, and they thought, you know, Jackson Merrill, Fernando Tatis, and Jaron Duran would make for an awesome outfielding core. Well, of course it would, but what are you going to give to get? You can't give expiring pieces for something that you're going to be able to control for the next couple of years. He's raising a flag of, I don't know what I'm doing sometimes. I'm making moves. I want to be in the spotlight. I couldn't believe it. I was shocked.
The only guy I'm interested in San Diego is Fernando Tatis.
He's not going anywhere.
So The one thing, though, that could make it somewhat possible is, and I kind of pointed this out when I first pitched it a few weeks ago, they've got bad money problems. They had to take out a $40 million loan just to pay their players. And so there's that. There's a messy control fight for the organization between the oldest surviving brother of Pete. I think it was Pete Seidler. Pete Seidler. And then so the older surviving brother versus the widow. And I spoke with a couple of Padres podcasters privately on Twitter just to get a better idea of what was going on with that. And their expectation is that the brother will keep control of the organization. And I said, what's your preference? And they prefer the wife because she'll stay committed to winning. So I just think that maybe at the 11th hour on the 31st of July, there's at least a small chance, a slight chance even, that they might be interested in moving that contract. So
if that happens, you're going to be the Twitter Babe Ruth of called shots. I mean, right now I have a very small 2-for-2 record of calling grand slams, and that's been great, but hasn't really been the case. I wasn't going to call one against Boston today when they had the bases loaded. I refuse. But Randy Clemens also brought up another name in there, Adrian Hauser. And I had a look at him because Adrian Hauser, I remember him when he was in Milwaukee. He had one good year and then he kind of fell off. But this year he's actually kind of rebounded in Chicago. So to his credit, 68 2/3, got 47 punch outs, hasn't really been giving up home runs, only 3 on the year. And he's a 6-2 record with a 2.1 ERA. He's a free agent next year. He's getting paid less than $1 million. I'm sure Chicago would want a lot to keep him, but he's probably going to walk anyways. It's Chicago. That's where all the fun toys go to die. Like Luis Robert is also there. I'm shocked he's not getting his phone blown up. Like, hey, do you want to come here? Because I wouldn't be surprised if Robert gets moved. If I'm Chicago, dude, I'm selling anything and everything because I know I am not a relevant team right now. If you can get something for these guys, do it. Because if you don't, they're going to walk away and then you get nothing. And it's just a waste. It's just a waste. I feel bad for that, the fans of that franchise. You know, I feel really, really bad. So, Randy, maybe the Red Sox will see your message and hear this and say, oh, yeah, maybe we should give Adrian Hauser a check. And then you'll get to be Twitter Babe Ruth for calling that shot. But I don't know. I mean, it's been a really, really long time since the Boston Red Sox have acquired someone of immense value at the deadline. It's been these kind of like dink and dunk players, just like plug and play, like, oh, the tape kind of came off. Let's just put a piece of tape over that tape and then we'll be fine. That's kind of the feeling I've gotten for the last couple of years. And I believe, Derek, you mentioned it, where we're kind of at the same place this year as we were last year and the same place that we were at the year before that. The teams have changed, but the record's still the same. And I don't know if we're going to be destined for greatness.
Let me ask you some questions. Just rapid fire, yes or no. Do we have a leadoff hitter?
Sure.
Okay, Jaren Duran, I would say yes, despite the lefty struggles. All right, So yes on the leadoff hitter. Do we have a number two hitter?
Ah, it's tough because now you don't have Devers in there. You don't have, sometimes, I'll say questionable, because you don't have a cleanup guy and you don't have a sexy 1-4 lineup. You don't have a
That's what I'm saying. You know, you don't really have a, well, it depends on where you put Bregman. So Bregman is the role. So Let's just say Bregman's the number two guy. Okay. Yeah. You don't have a number three guy. You don't have a number four guy. You don't have a number five guy. So
no,
it's not a good team. What you have is what I've been screaming from the mountaintops. You have a platoon dynasty and you don't win championships that way.
What about Story? I don't see him as a 4 or 3, but do you see Story being a 5-6 guy even?
Yeah,
or do you think he's a 7 or 8. I think Nick
in a deep lineup, he's probably in a championship caliber lineup, he's probably your number 6 guy. But
right.
But who's to say the floor doesn't drop out?
Yeah. No one's saying that. I'm just asking.
I'm curious.
It's tough. It's a tough situation. Like seeing Willier or Roman Anthony batting third, fourth at times. Like Roman Anthony's batted cleanup a couple of times, I'm pretty sure. That's tough. Putting a rookie in the four hole? What? It's interesting.
Yeah, story. 13 of his last 54, not great, but not in the toilet either. So
Right. He's doing better than Abreu, right, over his last 50.
Yeah, rounds. Abreu is hitting 210, and then in the last week he's hitting 105. Right. So
and that's bad. Yeah. That's really bad.
So I don't know. Yeah. We'll see. But I just
what other questions?
I just wanted to know the top half. The bottom half is what it is, but
let me ask you a question then. We'll do more questions. This is gonna be fun. Bullpen related. Do you have a bullpen that is deep enough that can get you in the playoffs?
Assuming Chapman is back relatively quick and not on the IL, let's say he just gets shut down for a few games.
Sure.
You can make the case that we do have an average to above average bullpen because Whitlock's the nastiest eighth inning guy in Major League Baseball right now by the looks of it.
Yeah, I would agree with you.
I think Hicks is better than what he's been. So I think there's upside there. Right. And then maybe Weissert figures it out. He looked okay yesterday. So
he struck out Shohei on a pitch up and away. It was nasty. Yeah. That was nice. That was really nice.
So, I mean, another piece for depth wouldn't hurt. I think Chris Murphy even has a lot of upside. So, you know what? I'm going to say our bullpen is fine.
I'll say our bullpen is above average as well. And then as far as your rotation is concerned, do you have a rotation that can get you through the playoffs?
I don't think so. That's the thing. Let me, Charlie Midnight says, let's add Ryan Helsley, who's the Cardinals closer.
Cardinals.
This is what I would do if I'm Breslow. It would require approval from the owner because you're taking on a lot of salary with this. And I can't remember if I've pitched aspects of this. Yes. Go get Sonny Gray, who's having an okay year. His metrics are still pretty good. He's controllable through next year, so it's not a super long-term thing. And then get the first baseman. Go get Wilson Contreras, who his only knock is he strikes out, but he hits a ton of doubles and has respectable pop. I think he's hit 13 or 14 home runs. That would be a one-stop shop type thing. And you know the Cardinals would love to offload some salary. And I would do it. I don't think you can give them – they're not going to have any interest at all in Yoshida. So it would just be easier to make them eat maybe a portion of whatever they're sending. But that's something that nobody's talking about that perhaps Breslow could take advantage of. And that's a game-changing trade, I would say.
Well, Contreras has that dual threat. He can play first. He can also catch. So there's your plug for Narvaez as, backup or spelling him at catcher because he can also catch. He's having a decent year. I actually thought you were going to say Nolan Arenado. I thought you were going to say bring Nolan over. I thought that's the direction you were going in. So I can't say I know where you're going, and I was right. I was wrong. Sonny Gray could be interesting. You are going to take on a lot of money. They're going to offload some of those contracts. Cardinals aren't going anywhere. I don't even know what's their record right now. They're not 500.
Right here, yes. Let me see.
They're not first, they're not second, and they're not third. So they're either fourth or in the basement.
They're one good. Game above 500, which puts them 3.5 games out of the wild card. All the, like the Ken Rosenthals of MLB expect them very strongly to sell. So that's something I would do.
Of course.
If Arenado just had a year or two left, I might entertain it, but I think he's got 3 years left.
He's got three. I think the same thing as Yoshida. I think they each have three, right?
Yeah. Or maybe it's two beyond this one, but I wouldn't want Nolan Arenado beyond, let's say, next year. And some people would say, I don't even want him now. And that's fair. I mean, if you look at his save-on chart, it's as blue as the Pacific Ocean. He's just, the dude's washed.
Yeah, he's got a contract through 27, it looks like. He's getting $24 million next year, and then he gets $15 million in 2020. Was it 27? Yeah, because we're in 25. So I don't know. It'd be great. I mean, you make a move like that, and immediately then it's, okay, cool. Well, if you do have one of those starters that's not working out for whatever reason, then you have a long reliever now. You have that guy that you need to be able to go 3+ innings. And then if you have Walker Buehler who needs to throw 70 pitches over 3+, that's fine. If you have a starter that gets absolutely shelled and you need someone to eat 3+, 4+ innings, throw Walker Buehler in there if he for whatever reason lost his spot in the rotation. But it'd be interesting. I mean, I'm curious to know what they would want. You're probably losing one of your top guys in that move just to make something of that kind of substance happen, because you're getting some key players from their team. You're getting another closer, you're getting a pitcher, you're getting their catcher slash first baseman.
Yeah, I mean, there would be at least one major prospect in there, and then maybe an Abreu type guy would help. And
yeah,
as far as the first baseman there, Contreras, I mean, Yoshida doesn't look that great. It's a short sample size, but if he literally gives you nothing, maybe they just simply move on at the end of the year, and then Contreras could slot into DH for the final 2 years of his deal. So that would still open up first base if you want to make another move there this winter, or if you recommit to Christian Campbell, then those are the potential options you have.
You would be taking on a lot of money because Sonny Gray has a crazy contract next year. I just wanted to look at it because I knew it wasn't expiring, but I wasn't sure what we were looking at. He's getting paid $35 million next year.
It is.
It's a lot of money. And then that with Wilson Contreras, you're looking at $53 million total for those two. Now, Helsley would be gone. So that part is a rental. You're essentially trading for an extra pitcher, you know, in the rotation for another year, and an extra first baseman slash catcher for another year. So I don't hate it, but I'm curious to know how realistic it's going to be. And would Boston be willing to move pieces?
Yeah, I don't think it would require a ton, but it would be, getting Joe Ryan would be way more painful. I feel like you're giving up.
Painful in the sense of prospect. Oh, yeah. Because you have to give up a lot.
You're not
more.
Taking on salary. Yeah, and that's probably another reason why you're giving up a lot of talent. But yeah, I don't know. If you could go get a huge bat there, you know, maybe I'm back, but I'm still, you know, 5 days before the deadline here, I'm still in the moderately pessimistic category that they're going to do what they need to do to get this team, you know, to be a bona fide playoff contender.
I'm aligned with you. I think that we're going to get a couple of pieces that we need. I don't think anything is going to be blockbuster, though. I just don't think the Red Sox are there, and I don't think that's where the mindset is, because I think where the team is going to make the most adjustments is this offseason. We've now seen what Anthony can do. Excuse me. We've seen what Meyer can do. Duran is starting to come back up. I'm praying that he doesn't go. Willie Abreu, the same thing. You've kind of got your core. Focus on the pitching. Maybe you add one more arm in the bullpen. If you have to make a couple of tweaks and adjustments, I completely understand. But you're really one big bat away from your lineup being set. You are one starting pitcher away from being a top two team in the AL East, like for real top two team in the AL East. And I think one bullpen arm. And it's crazy that trade that you mentioned takes care of all three. But will the Red Sox make that move now, or is it going to be something over the winter when we're not sacrificing any package or any pieces to a package and we're just possibly overpaying to get one of those players? I also don't know if I see that being a realistic outlet either, because the Boston Red Sox aren't throwing money at players like they used to. You know, like gone are the days of the 8-160s for Manny Ramirez. Devers wasn't here that long to enjoy his contract because that got shipped off to San Francisco. So, you know, now you're left with Trevor Story's big one and you've got Crochet's big one.
So if we'll you see. Take on all that money, roughly what, 55 million you said?
53 for the two plus the closer. That's going to be 53 million for this year. That's 2026. This year, it's a little bit less, but you got Helsley in there and he's making 8+.
All right. Here's why you're not worried about that. You've got 21 million from Bueller coming off the books, potentially 19 from Lucas Giolito coming off the books. You've got 10 million from Aroldis Chapman coming off the books. You've got 10.
Do you think he's coming back though?
But for now, I'm just going to stay off the books.
We'll leave it.
Eight or 10 million from Liam Hendricks coming off the books. And I'm just going down now. I think that's about all the major money coming for next year.
For this year.
And you're already over the luxury tax anyway. So I don't think we really care about pulling all that on. So yeah, I would go get them. The money you're taking on is just going to replace a lot of those guys next year. You might have to get one more pitcher, but I mean, if you tell me we're going into next season with, you know, Garrett Crochet, Brian Bayo, Sonny Gray, that's a pretty good 1-3. And I don't know if you're getting a Dobbins type guy back. Not that you want to put a lot of eggs in that basket anyway, but I just feel like you're setting yourself up for this season and you're taking a lot of pressure off yourself for this winter if you go make that deal. And then in 2027, you get a pretty clean slate there to reimagine what that roster is going to look like.
It's going to be really interesting. I mean, I if he makes this move, right? Craig Breslow makes a move, shocks everybody, fan base. You okay with him staying next year?
I mean, if we cruise into the postseason, yeah.
How do you not?
I'm probably good with it.
How do you not?
Yeah.
I'm with you.
Still... I'm driving the audience nuts. I think we're getting a 2024 type deadline, but let's just get into tomorrow real quick. This is a winnable Absolutely. Matchup. You've got Richard Fitz, who you don't feel great about, but he's going up against Simeon Woods Richardson. Never heard of him before 5 seconds ago. He doesn't pitch deep into games. Only lasted 3 innings against the Dodgers, ironically. Gave up 3 earned, walked 5. That's probably why it was a quick start. Only struck out 2. 2 starts ago against the lowly Pittsburgh Pirates. 4 2/3. Only gave up 1 earned. Not sure why the leash was short there. Maybe he just wasn't efficient, but just 1 earned run, 1 walk, 3 strikeouts, and then seemed to be all over the place against Chicago. No earned runs, but walked 3. So that's what we're up against tomorrow. He's a righty, so it's not going to necessarily be your Alex Cora special lineup, but it could be a high scoring game given that it's Fitz and Woods. So we'll see.
It could be, but he also had a streak earlier this year where he was going 5-6 innings and he wasn't allowing any runs. He's gotten shelled. Don't get me wrong. There have been those really, really ugly games. And I trust Woods Richardson to go deeper into a game than Richard Fitz. You know, I wish that we could just have, you know, 6 innings clean from Fitz and then we're good, you know, like a Dobbins performance against the Yankees. Right. And you know, you might not strike anybody out. You strike out maybe 1 or 2 guys and you allow 1 or no runs. And that'd be amazing. But I don't know if that's going to happen. Do you think that based on this series, the Red Sox will be more serious about that final deadline decision?
You have to be, don't you? I mean, You're going to win two out of three. So let's just say I'm right. That makes your record 59-51. You'd be 8 games over. You haven't been that high above 500 at the last few deadlines. I don't see how you don't go for it, honestly.
Right.
And I was just trying to pull up Minnesota. I know they do have some bats in that lineup. Carlos Correa, last I checked, was having an okay season. So was Byron Buxton. But
Buxton had he got a cycle on the day that I think they were doing like a bobblehead or something like that for him.
No.
Did you hear about that? It was, yeah. So if let me see if I can find it. He ended up having like a crazy game. I mean, nothing as crazy as the Oakland A's rookie, but did you hear about what he did? 4 home runs in one game
Nick
for a
Kurtz.
Rookie. Nick Hurts, yeah. I got to see if I can find it. Yeah, so it was against the Pittsburgh Pirates. He had a double, triple, homer, single, 5 for 5. Got his first cycle. Buxton, I'm always surprised. Like, I always feel like his name is one that could be on the move. He's having probably his best statistical year. Like, he's going to exceed expectations. You know, he's had 20 home runs only once in his career, and it was like 4 years ago that he did it. And he's never been able to stay healthy. He's always got an injury problem. But this year he's been pretty darn healthy for the most part, and he's probably going to have 30, 35 home runs. He's got that power, but it's just the staying healthy thing. And the Twins, too, they have a guy named Griffin Jacks. If you haven't seen him, take a look at him. He's had a couple of rough patches. But if the Red Sox end up making a move to get Ryan, I want Jacks in that package, too. I would love to get Jacks. That'd be amazing. Get your reliever, get your starter, and then try to figure out how you're going to get that other
pack. Harrison Bader hurt? I thought he was.
Harrison Bader, the last time I saw him, he was coming off the bench. Like, he hadn't been starting. He had a couple games in a row where he just was coming off the bench. He is not
currently hurt.
1 for 4.
I'm thinking of someone else then. So, I mean, he's hitting pretty well recently. Their catcher, left fielder, Will Castro, not a high average guy, but a high on base guy. Buxton's having the best year of his career. Carlos Correa is having a very good last 30 games, 282 with a 370 on base, only one home run, but still a productive bat. After that, it just really, they do have Royce Lewis, of course, my bad.
He's been bad all year, though. He's only recently started hitting. He was out for a
290 while. in the last month with a 324 on base. He had a hamstring issue to start the year. It's weird. Right. Him and Buxton, I mean, you might get a combined full season out of both of them. But, yeah.
Right.
So, I don't know. I mean, Ty France is only hitting 212 in the last month, but has a 305 on base. So, if Fitz is off tomorrow, maybe the Twins can put up a 6 or 7 spot, but get him. Yeah, and Thomas Wagner in the chat, Sonny Gray has a full no trade. He does. Do you think he wants to waste away with the Cardinals here? I don't think so.
Right.
So we'll see. 734 live viewers on a Sunday afternoon. That's pretty big. So
take a screenshot of that one, Terrence. That's pretty good for a Sunday. I'll take it. And end of the month, let's go. Anything else you want to add?
Nothing else.
I'm sure we have plenty, but we got to call it. This is going to be a very, very fun series. Go Red Sox. If you are interested in checking out some articles, bastardsofbostonbaseball.com. Check it out for some daily articles from the crew. Have a great one. Take care.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.